Amen. Well, hey, as you grab a seat, go ahead and grab your Bible and turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. If you need a Bible, you'll find one in a seat around you. And if you don't own a Bible, leave with that. We would love for you to have that as a gift. James, chapter 1. While you find and get settled into the book of James, just quick question. Who has ever played this board game on the screen here? Anyone? Okay, the Game of Life, right? It was a go-to growing up. Pretty simple premise. Whoever makes it to the end with the most money wins, right? And I remember playing it again as an adult, and it hit me, whoa, how many people are living real life like the game of life? That whoever makes it to the end with the most is the winner of this game called real life. And it was just this eye-opening moment of how easy it is to fall into a mindset that is, that the game of life, you know, tells us to live like. Whoever makes it to the most, or to the end with the most, wins. Money, socioeconomic status, it impacts almost everything in our culture. Jesus had a lot to say about money and how we identify with money. And so it makes sense in the book of James. And remember, we're calling this book a field manual of authentic faith lived out. It's such a practical book. James just continues to come with these quick-hitting practical instructions for us of what genuine, authentic faith lived out and kind of the street-level theology of life looks like. It makes sense that if that's what James is, that early in this letter, James is seeking to shepherd the hearts of Christians as it relates to how we identify with money. And I really want you to focus on that phrase. I'll repeat it a lot throughout today's sermon. How we identify with money. How we identify with money. These three verses we're going to look at today, they are ultimately about money itself. It's not wealth or poverty in and of itself. The real issue here is where we as Jesus followers ultimately identify, or to use the words of the passage here, where is our boast? Where is our boast? Is our boast with our Christ or with our cash? That's really the question that James is going to raise here. Dan McCartney, he's a commentator, did some work on the book of James. He says this about this passage. The main problem here isn't wealth per se, but certain attitudes towards wealth. And that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at these attitudes towards wealth. James needs to take a few sentences in his field manual to help Christians remember where their boast ultimately resides. And James understands how easy it can be for especially rich Christians to be tempted to find their ultimate identity or their ultimate boast in their socioeconomic status and not in their Savior. And so James starts in these three verses we're going to look at by shepherding the hearts of poor Christians. And remember, that's the majority of whom he is writing to. And he's going to shepherd their heart as to how identifying with Christ leads them to boast actually in their high position. And then he moves to shepherding rich Christians as to how identifying with Christ leads them to boast in their low position. And I want to make a note here because I believe James in this passage is addressing both poor and rich Christians. But I need to make that clear because there's a lot of really, really good and faithful commentators out there on the book of James who would interpret this passage to say the poor being addressed are believers, the rich being addressed are unbelievers, and James is showing how these rich unbelievers will ultimately be laid low in the final judgment. But I don't think that's the case here. I think James is providing direction to both the poor and the rich Christian that regardless of their socioeconomic status, they identify and boast in the same one, namely Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at how the poor Christians to identify with Christ, and then we want to look at how the rich Christian is to identify with Christ. And as we unpack these two parts, here's just the very simple main idea for today. It's this: in poverty or riches, I will boast in Christ alone. This is the Christian's claim. regardless of any label the world would put on us as to like how rich or poor we are, the Christian says, no, in poverty or riches, I will boast in Christ alone. And so let me read James 1, 9 through 11, and then let me pray and we'll make our way through it here. James 1, this is the word of the Lord. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Father, we need this reminder. We need this instruction from your word here. And so, Lord, as we look just at these three verses here, Holy Spirit, would you drive the truths of your word deep into our hearts? Lord, would it change us? Would it recalibrate our hearts around things that are of eternal significance? And would it loosen the grip on how easy it is to pursue after the riches of this world as our place we find our identity? And so, God, I ask for your help that you'd use your word as it goes forth to just really bring our hearts to the place you want them brought to as it relates to this word you have for us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at this first part, who James addresses first. And the first point is this: let the poor Christian boast in their high position. Let the poor Christian boast in their high position. Look with me, if you would, at verse 9. James writes, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now, the lowly brother. We need to make sure that it's fair to say that when James addresses the lowly brother, he's actually talking about those who are materially poor. Because this word lowly brother, or these words lowly brother, if you have an NIV, it might be translated here, the brother in humble circumstances. How do we know James is referring to literally those who are financially poor? Because this word in the Bible is used to indicate poverty, but it's also used to indicate humility. It's used to indicate poverty of spirit. So how do we know when James addresses the lowly brother, he's talking about those who are poor? Well, we know because of where he goes in verse 10. In verse 10, he's going to address the rich outright. And this helps us understand the contrast James is making in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, he's talking to the lowly brother, or the brother of humble circumstance. He's talking to the believer who is materially poor. In verse 10, he's going to be talking to the believer who is materially rich. But the clear address to the rich in verse 10 helps us understand the clear address to the poor of verse 9. And this makes sense. This makes sense, right? That James would be addressing his poor brothers and sisters. Because remember who he's writing to. He tells us he's writing at the beginning of the letter to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, is how he says it. He's writing to believers, early Jesus followers, battered and scattered. They have been displaced due to persecution, or in some instances, Holy Spirit commissioning. But they're poor, they're persecuted, they're pilgrims. And for the majority of them navigating a poor pilgrim life, James, in his field manual, seeks to shepherd their hearts to get their eyes up. He tells them that they are to boast. Let the lowly brother boast. Now, we've grown up to be taught you don't boast, right? Don't be a boastful person. But the scriptures actually never condemn boasting outright. In fact, there's places in scripture that we're commanded to boast. To boast means this. It means to pride oneself in, or to delight or take joy in. And the scriptures don't condemn boasting so long as our boasting is in the right things or in the right one. The scriptures condemn boasting that is in the wrong things. But the scriptures actually commend certain kinds of boasting. Look at what we read in Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So Jeremiah is a great passage that says, don't boast in this, don't boast in this, don't boast in this, but boast in this. boast that you know me. And James is picking up this Jeremiah theme when he writes here. In this case, namely, that the poor Christian is to boast in, if you look back at the verse, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. But what does he mean? And were those battered and scattered Christians, would they have been tempted to read what James wrote to them here and say, boast in what? Take pride or delight in what? We have nothing. And we're in these brand new places where we know no one. We have nothing to our name and we're completely unknown. Our lives have been ripped away from us. Boast in exaltation? What exaltation? James tells the poor Christian to boast in their exaltation. It means to boast in their high position. See, James wants the poor believer to understand, to take pride and delight in the high position that they possess in Christ. He's bringing to bear on the hearts of his readers the upside-down kingdom that is the kingdom of God. He's giving them a potent reminder of all that is theirs in Christ. The poor of this world in Christ possess the riches of heaven. In Christ, even if you have nothing to your name in this world, you have everything, everything laid up in heaven. We see this throughout the scriptures, and these are the kinds of truths James is trying to bring to bear on the hearts of his readers here. We see it in a truth like Luke 6:20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and this is Jesus talking, and he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. James wants these poor believers to understand the inheritance that is theirs, like we read in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. He wants these poor Christians to understand the inheritance that is held and is theirs. He wants them to understand that though the world might assign to them a lowly position because of their poverty, they actually are seated in Christ in a very high position, like Ephesians chapter 2 says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And look at this now. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, hey, poor brother or sister, in your poverty, boast in your high position. You are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And with that inform you're boasting. Because you may have nothing, James would say to them, because you may have nothing and be considered a no one in the unknown place you find yourself right now. But in Christ, you're adopted, you're chosen, you have an assured inheritance of spiritual blessings laid up in the heavenly places. In Christ, you're seated in heaven and you're seated assured. So boast, take pride, delight in your high position that is yours in Christ Jesus. In Christ, though poor, we are rich. And thus, in our poverty, we can boast in our high position. You know, you see this all over the world with our poor brothers and sisters in Christ, all over the globe. I'll never forget my first experience in a third world context with believers. I was 19 years old. We had taken a trip to the eastern parts of Kenya. I'll never forget some of the sights and smells, the torn clothes used as clothing, the t-shirts wadded up and taped that served as a soccer ball for the kids. I'll never forget, honestly, some of the restroom conditions in which our brothers and sisters used that were just appalling to me. And over the course of that week, though, I was struck by something as a 19-year-old, that there was a profound sense and depth of joy these believers walked with that I knew nothing of. It's like they actually knew in real life living color what Paul meant when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and then this line especially, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Like the way they live, they're like, they actually believe that. They actually believe that. And so, we got back to Nairobi at the end of that week, and we were sitting around as a group of Americans debriefing what we saw. And I just remember we were going around the circle, and everyone was like, oh, I feel so bad. I feel awful for the conditions. I'm so burdened. And I got to me, and as a brash 19-year-old, I was like, I feel bad for us. And everyone looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's a sense of joy, and there's a sense where these folks understand to have Christ is to have everything that I don't think we know anything about. And it was like just, even as I've been around the world more and more with, spending time with our poor brothers and sisters around the world, like it's like they actually understand what James is writing to these believers about, that the lowly brother can boast in his high position, because to have Christ is to have everything. So are you poor? Are you poor? Like literally, I'm asking, like, are you poor? Now I know that question in this room, comparatively speaking, by the standards of the world, almost all of us in this room are very rich. But some of you may be in the room today as a poor one, as one in poverty. The answer to your poverty isn't to get rich, it's to boast right. The answer to your poverty isn't to get rich, it's to boast right. I was downtown on the Near East Side a few years back meeting with a pastor of a poor neighborhood in Indianapolis. And I just like, how do you do it, man? Like the context in which you minister is so hard. He goes, no, my context, I have an advantage over yours. I said, what do you mean? He said, once someone comes to Christ here, they're already poor. I don't have to fight the material riches that are always warring for the hearts of the people you minister to. I was like, whoa. The answer to poverty isn't to get rich, it's to boast right. It's to boast right. So you may never ascend to the next tax bracket of wealth in this world. You may travail through this life poor the rest of your days, but you can do so with a holy, prideful delight in Christ, with a joy that is the currency of heaven as you boast in your high position seated with Christ in the heavenly places, even though if the world would look at you seated so low. But for those of us in the room who know we aren't poor, we know we're not poor by comparison with whom James is writing to or by the standards of this world. How does James 1 verse 9, how might James 1 verse 9 equip you to glory in Christ should one day you become poor? And I know of like, man, for that's even somewhat of a foreign concept to think about because, and we've kind of built the layers to our financial fortresses that even the thought of this type of poverty one day seems so foreign. We have our checking accounts and our saving accounts and our insurance policies and our investment accounts. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. In fact, there's many wise principles that go into all of those. But here's the key. Should all of those things one day perish and poof, be gone? Guess what? James says you have all you need in Christ on the day you're left with nothing to your name to look heavenward with a smile on your face and boast in your high position that is yours in Jesus Christ. If you boast in Christ, your boast remains intact even when your financial world falls apart. So at verse 9 points the poor Christian to identify with their high position in Christ. Verse 10 and verse 11, James is now going to turn his attention to what I believe is him addressing the rich Christian. And he's going to have the same message for the rich Christian as to where he is to find his boast. It's a shepherding of the rich person to find his boast in his Christ, not in his cash. In poverty or riches, I will boast in Christ alone. And so if point one was shepherding of the poor Christian, point two is this: let the rich Christian boast in their low position. Look at James 1, verse 10. Well, let me just read it all together with verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. And the rich in his humiliation. Let's just stop there and take this part. The rich is to boast in his humiliation. Again, to boast means to pride oneself in or to delight or to take joy in. The rich is to take pride and delight, but the irony in which James is speaking to them is so palpable that the rich brother, the rich believer, is not to boast in their net worth, not to boast in the exaltation the world can lift a rich person up to. No, the identity of the rich Christian, hear this now, the identity of the rich Christian is not in the word rich, it's in the word Christian. Thus, the rich Christian is to boast in his humiliation. If the poor is to boast in his exaltation, and that means his high position, the rich are to boast in their humiliation or their low position. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means the rich Christian ultimately identifies not with his wealth, but he ultimately identifies with Christ and as one of Christ's people. And to identify with Christ means the rich person is identifying with one who came and got low. Christ was perfectly holy and yet completely humiliated in this world. Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Christ said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Christ took on the penalty of the sin of this world. Christ emptied himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was mocked and scorned. He was beaten and bruised. He was nailed and crucified. The rich Christian looks upon the Savior that he follows and says, "Do you know where my boast is? It is in a crucified Savior. It is not in any sort of exaltation this world might assign to me because of the amount of money I have to my name. It is in the fact that I follow a scorned and beaten, mocked, crucified Savior. That's where my boast resides." So the rich one identifies with a crucified Savior, but he also identifies as one of Christ's people. And Christ's people are not considered like the wise and powerful of the world, but the weak and the foolish by the world's standards. And in describing the way the apostles were viewed in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul wrote this: "When slandered, we entreat. We've become and are still," this is how he says the apostles are thought of, "like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." Paul's like, that's how people look at us as apostles. And so James' point to the rich believer here is your identity and how you identify your life, how you boast, is not in your wealth, but it is to be that you are in Christ. Your boast is not in your cash, but it's in your Christ. And to identify with Christ means to get low. To boast in the humiliation that Christ endured while he was here. To boast in a low position, the humiliation in which Christ himself walked while on this earth. And James then uses an illustration. There's a driving illustration in this passage here. And this illustration is to give us as rich believers the proper perspective that helps us see that to identify with Christ and his humiliation is better than to identify or boast in wealth. Why? Because Christ is eternal and wealth is fleeting. And here's the picture. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. And now here's the illustration. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Let me just remind us again that the issue at hand here isn't wealth per se. It's whether the believer ultimately boasts in his wealth. It's where his boast resides. Where is his pride and his joy and his delight? Does the rich believer ultimately identify with his Christ or with his cash? And James wants to ultimately identify with that. He's warning us that to ultimately identify with our riches and to be swept up in the elevation of a pedestal the world might put us on due to our wealth is ultimately futile and fruitless and fleeting, because the rich man of this earth will pass away 100% of the time. There is a funeral in your future. And if your boast has been laid up in the riches of this earth and not the riches of Christ, your funeral will reveal the futility of your boast. Life on this earth is fleeting. James is going to get there in a couple chapters. Our life is like a vapor. Go home and cook something and watch that steam come off the pot, and as fast as you see it and as fast as it's gone, that's our life. And so, thus, the riches of this world are equally as fleeting. Like a flower that blossoms then falls, so the rich man flourishes then fades. And James isn't the only one to write about this in the Bible. We see these words in Isaiah chapter 40. A voice says, cry, and I said, what should I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Or in Psalm 103, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Or Psalm 49, be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. God seems heaven-bent. In his word, to get across to us a warning not to identify or boast in earthly riches as our ultimate identity. Don't base the boast of your life on this, but rather, regardless of our means, to boast in Christ. In poverty or riches, I will boast in Christ alone. And now, to help remind us of this, long after the sermon ends, I wanted us to take this illustration home with us. So did you get a flower walking in? Did you get a flower walking in? Why don't you just grab that flower? If you didn't get a flower walking in, if we have any left, just want to make sure you get one walking out. And I just want to be straight up with you, okay? I gave you this flower today so that you will take it home and put it somewhere you can watch it die. No one's probably ever been that upfront with you about the gift of a flower, but I'm just being straight with you. You're going to take this home. You're going to put it in a prominent position where you can watch it every day, and you're going to begin to watch it wither and die before your eyes. I feel like the bad guy in the movie Lorax. Let him die, let him die, let him shrivel up and die. But in all seriousness, we need to watch this illustration from Scripture live out before our eyes. If we're going to put our boast, like the board game Life, and the kind of life that says my boast is tied up in just having as much as I can possibly get of earthly riches before it's all said and done, that's as good as the basically week-long span you're going to have of that flower having life in it. But then it's going to wither and it's going to die. Just like we're going to wither and we're going to die. But in watching this flower, may we be reminded to run to a place of the fullness of our boast being on the one who bore our sin on the cross and who by faith invites us to himself that we might have everlasting life and riches for eternity that can't ever be taken. that won't die, where rust and moth will not destroy, but eternal spiritual riches with him that will never be taken for us. So a question to us rich Christians, and that's most of us in the room, maybe all of us in the room. Are you boasting more in the humiliation of Christ as a lowly one following him, or are you boasting in the earthly exaltation of your cash position? Where's your boast? Do you boast in Christ and the humiliation by the standards of this world that come from your boast being in him, or do you boast in your riches? And may this flower and may your impending funeral preach a word to you that to boast in your low position in Christ is better than a boast in the fleeting, fading reality of riches. So in poverty or riches, I'll boast in Christ alone. Let the poor Christian boast in his high position. Let the rich Christian boast in his low position. And take your flower and let it die. As a reminder that in poverty or riches, I'll boast in Christ alone. Hey, if just by the power of the Holy Spirit in the room here today, the Spirit has used three verses from the Word of God to just maybe reveal to your heart that, oh my goodness, wealth has been my Savior. Christ has not been my Savior. Today, right here in your seat, you can leave the bad Lord of wealth and run to the kind Savior that is Christ by just calling on his name to be saved. Even as the service ends today, we'll have leaders from our spiritual response team who will be up here to talk to you more about that if you need to. But in poverty or riches, I'll boast in Christ alone. Why don't you just stand with me? I want to pray this for us, and then we're going to sing before we go. Father, we so need what these three verses have spoken to our heart today. Lord, we just confess, especially living in a prosperous culture, how easy it is for us to lay up our boast in worldly wealth, earthly wealth. But Lord, our ultimate identity doesn't rest there. Our boast as a follower of you does not rest there. And so Lord, by the power of your Spirit, whether we have plenty or whether we are in want, would our boast be in Christ and in Christ alone? Work that into our hearts today as we go. Let your word just keep ruminating in our heart. Let this flower be a reminder of the illustration from this passage. And Lord, accomplish this. Get our boast in the right place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.